This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Houston, we do not have a problem.
Sarah Webb. Joy Drive's astrophysicist.
Good afternoon, Sarah Webb.
Good afternoon.
Now, Sarah, before we get into everything that's been happening in space, something that's been happening in the entire universe, and now let's get into space news. Something that I wouldn't want to come across is an angry black hole.
But no.
There might be one.
Oh, there are quite a few out there in the universe, but the great thing is we've just discovered another extremely angry, supermassive black hole. It's not just a black hole. Oh. It's a supermassive black hole. Millions to billions of times the mass of our sun. Absolutely enormous. But the good news is, don't worry, it's 430 million light years away.
Oh,
so it's far, far away. But what's so interesting about this black hole that we've just found is that big angry black holes, when they're accreting material onto them, they can have jets of material spewing back out.
Oh.
And what we've found is that this particular galaxy with this black hole in it is churning up. You imagine it pushing around all of the dust and the gas so much, it's churning up the entire galaxy that new stars can't form. And essentially, this black hole is quenching, or it's slowly suffocating this galaxy where there will be no new stars, which is quite amazing.
So it's easy. Could it eventually, like in billions and billions and billions of years' time, could it eat the whole other galaxies as well and slowly eat up the whole? No.
No. So the good thing about these supermassive black holes, I know they sound absolutely terrifying and it's valid. That they sound terrifying. They're really not. So the environment that they're in, they can get a lot of material that falls in on them in the centres of the galaxies, but they're not massive enough to actually pull in material from outside their local local little area. Yeah.
So they just eat locally.
Yeah, they eat local. That's right.
Like it. Okay, so we found a very angry black hole. Now also, we might be able to have a new ride to space.
Yeah, which is really exciting. So those of you who will remember the space shuttle program, the old program where we essentially had planes that went to space and came back down. It was a great design and really innovative, and we haven't had anything like that since the shuttle program was retired.
Why not? What was the reason?
There were a few different reasons. There were two major catastrophes with the shuttle program, which was a major impact into what is the longevity of these spacecraft, and they had already been around for a significant amount of time as well.
Okay.
And so they deemed that it was better in the long run financially to go with other resupply missions to the ISS, and they didn't need these massive planes. They'd already built the International Space Station. But going forward, we're going to be looking at some new things in space. The space station is going to retire. We're going to have private space stations being built. And so we're going to need some different ways of getting our cargo and people to and from. So Sierra Space has come up with the Tenacity plane and something called the Shooting Star Cargo Module, which is just a fantastic name. And they're going to be testing that out hopefully in the next year or so.
Now, you mentioned that we're going to have private space stations. Should we be concerned that they're private and not international?
It's a really good question. And I think the long short of it is no, I don't think we should be concerned, because what we're doing now is shifting a lot of the onus of research and development into private sector, which ends up being really great for different things. We create a lot of different jobs, we get a lot of innovation out of the private sector, and then it can be supported and tenders can be given by government. So I think it will be, instead of nations putting forward the research, the development and the funding to build specific modules, we're going to see private companies kind of offer us off-the-shelf things that people can buy into. And I think it will help, in the long run, help the space economy.
Now, so the International Space Station is going to retire. What happens to it? In years to come, someone's going to come across it. It'll be like diving for a shipwreck, you know, off the ocean, and someone will go in, oh my goodness, let's go visit the retired space station. And guess what? Guess what will be living on board? The aliens.
What if? I thought you were going to say aliens. I knew it. Great, maybe some octopus. So you're not too far gone. The idea with the space station is that we're not exactly sure what the decommissioning plan is. There might be some modules that they keep and put somewhere else in space, but the large majority of it will likely be burnt up in our atmosphere, and then they will try land it in Point Nemo, which is in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, if there's any remnants. So who knows? You could very well be swimming around it one day.
Fantastic. So it's not going to stay up in space is the main thing.
No, okay. It can't. It's too close to the Earth, sadly.
Okay, let's touch base with the James Webb Space Telescope. What's it discovered?
So this little telescope has discovered so many things in the last year, but the latest discovery that I'm quite excited about is that it's confirmed two exoplanets, so two planets that are outside our solar system that are orbiting around dead stars. They're orbiting around these stars that we call white dwarfs. And the interesting thing is that our sun will eventually turn into one of these. And it just helps us try and figure out, well, what happens when a solar system dies? Like, do planets survive? And if so, what type of planets are left behind?
This is fascinating. So when will we likely find out what the planets are like?
So I think there needs to be more investigation. They're going to get more different telescopes, different instruments to look at it. But so far, the theory is that they're likely at least the size of Jupiter, if not 10 or so sizes bigger, 10 or so radii bigger, which means that they're gas giants. So they're not like Earth, they're not rocky, but they likely would have been gas giants, similar to Jupiter, Neptune and Saturn that live in the outskirts of our solar system. They probably would have been in the outskirts of these solar systems as they lived as well.
Fantastic. So when will our sun turn into one of these, what do we call them?
A white dwarf.
A white dwarf. When will that happen?
About 4 to 5 billion years.
Right, we don't have to worry.
Yeah, well, no worries. No worries for us at all.
I love it, Sarah. What else is it likely to discover, the James Webb Space Telescope? Is it in your world, is it exciting when this stuff comes through?
Oh, it's incredibly exciting. And I'm really lucky because the department that I work in, we have some of the leading scientists for JWST here in Australia who are trying to analyze this data as it comes straight off the telescope and investigating things like big dusty galaxies and galaxies that seem that they're too big for where they are in the universe and all of these really amazing science questions that comes out of our research hubs.
So all this excitement happens right here in Melbourne at Swinburne.
Yeah, a lot of it does. Wow. That's right. We have the James Webb Data Centre out of Swinburne, and then we have researchers all around Australia that contribute to trying to understand some of the data coming from the telescope.
It's great to chat with you, Sarah. We'll chat to you again in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
That is Sarah Webb from Swinburne, University of Technology.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.